everybody. Welcome to Mom Said. My name is Gabe Gibbs.
And you'll never know my name.
Her name's Allie Gibbs. Mom Said is a podcast made by three siblings, but it's not about that.
But it's not about that.
Today is kind of a... Today's episode was kind of a chill energy Wednesday. It was sort of a catch-up. Grant...
Guys, just take a deep breath. We're
just chilling. Take a deep breath. Grant had a big day the day before, so it's light on the Grant cam, heavy on the soundboard.
We should have been whispering in consideration of our sweet brother Grant, who had a big day the day before.
We had a big day the
talked
day before.
Talked a little about high school, talked a little bit about the giraffes at the zoo.
We talked about our
regular
mother,
STEM stuff.
Some STEM stuff. Welcome back to the STEM podcast.
Yeah. STEMcast.
We mentioned it again at the end of the episode, and I'm so sorry to do it in the intro over and over, but I will be doing it for the next few weeks. I am recording my first ever comedy special here in LA, March 16th at the Dynasty Typewriter. The link is in the bio and my Instagram and TikTok and everywhere.
If you come in person, then when you watch it back on your TV, you might be able to hear yourself laughing, and then it's like you're on TV.
Yeah.
Think about that. Do you want to be on TV?
And the tickets go to paying for the venue, which helps me make the special, which means ultimately
you're sort of
a cool Hollywood investor if you come.
An executive producer.
An executive producer, if you will.
That's
right. I'll give you whatever title you want if you come see the show.
Come see.
Anyway, that's March 16th. That information is available at the link in my bio, but this is going to be a fun episode. Enjoy the Wednesday where we're all just trying to connect. Just trying
Hit
to vibe.
It. Grant.
Mom said.
There's this really strange phenomenon that happens.
For real starting?
Stop interrupting. Yes, this is the start.
Okay, go ahead.
There's this really strange phenomenon that happens every Sunday morning, and that is that my dog sleeps in on Sundays. I don't know how to explain.
What?
I swear
what
to God.
What do you mean?
I swear to God, every morning Biggie wakes up, jump like Superman's out of bed to get his breakfast. Like pretty much the second the sun.
On normal mornings.
On normal mornings. Or if I open my eyes or if I even stir, he's like,
let's
breakfast
rock.
Time.
Yeah.
He's so excited for breakfast. And he will wiggle worm, like run around the house, like freak out. Until he gets his breakfast. But on Sunday mornings, he stays in bed. And I have to get him out of bed.
It's the Lord's Day and he knows.
This morning.
He's practicing.
This morning.
He's practicing the Sabbath. He's honoring the day.
I'm on my phone scrolling. I'm rolling around. I'm picking him up. I'm cuddling. I'm kissing him. Dead. And it happens every week on Sunday.
Wow.
How does he know what day of the week it is?
He's a biblical dog.
And we don't have like he has any choice. I don't really have a super regular routine. I work from home. I go to the gym some mornings. Some mornings, you know, like it's not like there would be something that indicates something different about a Sunday morning.
Sure.
Except that spiritually.
He gets it.
He's practicing the Sabbath.
Wow.
Isn't that the strangest thing?
That is odd. That is odd because how would he know? There must be something you're doing that signals that. There must be something Sunday about your
Can
vibe.
Can I just make an announcement?
Yeah.
I just want to let all my fans know that there may be minimal Grant Cam this episode because...
Oh, okay. Do you want to let us know what you got into yesterday?
Well, I just got into a lot of cool stuff. It's first 10 minutes. I got into a lot of cool stuff yesterday and got very minimal sleep. So sorry to my fans that there may be less Grant Cam.
Sorry to Grant's fans.
Sorry to Grant's fans.
For the less Grant cam.
For the less Grant cam.
Does Grant have fans that care about the Grant cam?
For sure. For sure. I'm one of them.
Totally.
I'm a big fan of the Grant cam.
Totally.
For me, this show started making sense. I'm not kidding. This show started making sense when we had the Grant cam. I was like, oh, this is a show.
Okay. I'm not kidding when I say if the two of you were sick in a ditch somewhere, whatever, we'd still
just
have a show.
Do it without us.
We would still have a show.
How would you record, huh? You know which buttons to push?
Yeah, Gabe, I'm a producer.
Yeah, you know which buttons to push on this?
Yeah.
You know what buttons to push.
Yeah, and in fact, remember that TLC show that was like Undercover Boss, and like the CEO of a company would come like work at a Subway or whatever?
Yes. Are you implying that you are the boss of this whole thing and you would be going undercover
to do
Grant's job so that you could hear your own self talk without us?
Yes.
It's telling. Undercover Boss is kind of crazy.
No, it's sick.
First of all, those employees are being filmed and they know they're being filmed regardless of whether their boss is there. The whole situation is odd. They must be being
told that there's like a training thing happening or a documentary or whatever. And I have no idea how the show worked, but I feel like that's got to be illegal.
Yeah, or something.
It's at least ethically
to be tricking. Yes, yes. Because part of it like gotcha vibes. Like it was like the bosses are checking to see, or what, or did it end up being like
a lot of
the
times it was emotional. That, like
these people are good people and they're working hard.
Yes, a lot of times
it's literally the richiest rich discovering for the first time around
wage and empathy.
Yeah,
for real.
Oh shit. Bring it back.
Well, but I feel like that was an age when that show was happening was a little bit more like the grander public enjoyed gotcha kind of things.
And
now
grander,
we don't really like gotcha anymore.
No, we don't like gotcha. We don't like a lot of the things that we were doing then. But it's my knee came up because it means we're getting into podcast mode. For the listener, I changed how I was sitting. Anyway, check us out on YouTube. Remember what we don't have anymore, or maybe we still do, but do you remember Extreme Makeover Home Edition?
I think it still exists.
Bus Driver Move That Bus?
I think it still exists.
Move That Bus!
Bus Driver Move! Okay, I only think it still exists because someone recently was telling me that they were watching it and crying about the mom feeling relieved that her kid had.
But this is also the thing is like, where are we getting, where do those people come from? And are we helping them with the property taxes? This is so boring.
I've got to imagine that we're not helping. Actually,
Maybe this is a bad take and we can cut it, but why is so much of like American television like making people in poverty compete for like living standards?
I agree that maybe we'll have
to cut this.
That's
not a bad take.
But this is not a bad take. Agree. Because it is a lot of like, hey, let's take a person who has no way of helping unless Mr. Beast gives them $6 million.
Like the Beast Games, it's like sad. It's like these people like, I assume a lot of them are like struggling financially, so they like have to go on this show. And,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It is kind of dystopian when you think
really
about it.
Well, it's very American and it's very capitalist. Yeah. But I would say regarding the Extreme Makeover Home Edition, they were not competing. They were like identified by a group of producers to need a home. And I actually spoke to someone once who participated in an episode because they have like community volunteers that help build that house that quickly.
Oh yeah.
And the person was like, the hosts of the show don't actually do the work, which is like, obviously.
Yeah.
But they were saying
Ty Pennington's not building a house. Three or four 2x4s.
Well, also in front of camera. Shame on you for ever believing he was. But
agree.
They were saying it's really cool to see the community come together and help someone in the community.
Sure.
Like everyone in the community comes together and builds a house.
And they like send them to Disneyland, right?
Yeah, they do something fun while they're waiting for their house to be built.
That's cute. I've circled back around on that one. I like that one. But I agree that there is something odd about...
But the competition shows,
entertainment being like, maybe these people's lives will get better. The stakes of it are like bad.
Yeah, the stakes are bad.
But it's not these people's fault or even television's fault. It's the country.
But then, it's a system issue because then it's like, do we want these TV shows to have rich people competing for money that's of no service to them? Like, it's like... Obviously, it's cool when those stakes exist because someone's life will change, but then some people's life will not change and they'll continue to eat ramen noodles.
Right, but the rich people will not be competing because the rich people are too busy to be competing and producing the show, and the rich people will be doing stuff that's not competing for money because they don't need it.
Well, the rich people are competing for money in a different way.
They're competing for your souls, to be honest.
No,
bro.
No, I was
your time.
No, they're still competing for money, but they're competing for money not televised.
Yeah.
In rooms.
In secret rooms. I'm trying to force a song and I'm watching you decide your way in and I love it.
No. I actually was sitting here being like, I refuse to sing.
I know. I'm watching. I'm trying to like feed you a song and you have no interest.
I have no interest in singing the rich people competing for money song.
But isn't the whole point of the podcast to go with each other's bits?
I've got it. Money must be funny.
Did you just come up with this?
In a rich man's world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keep going.
This is new right now.
Is there more?
Money. Always sunny.
Correct.
In a rich man's world. I mean, sounds good
for the first time hearing it.
Oh.
Okay. We can't. We've had too much ABBA in this podcast already.
Beg to diff.
Yeah, I agree.
Beg to diff. And in fact, there's going to be ABBA in every episode.
Is this That's episode my promise. 10?
That's my promise
or
to
is
the
this
listener.
Episode 9? Episode 9? Dang.
My promise to the listener is that...
We could celebrate episode 9. It doesn't have to be a nice round number like 10. Hey, episode 9, Grant. We've made it.
We've made it to episode 9.
What else is special about 9? 9 lives? We've got 9 lives. Also, what else is special about 9?
It's a full sentence in German.
What do you mean?
9 is a full sentence in German.
What? Take the accent away. And what do you mean? 9? Just the word 9? It means no.
No is a full sentence in English.
Uh-huh.
This is a saying that people give when they're like trying to teach people how to have boundaries and how to like they always say like no is a full sentence.
Oh, so you were doing a joke. 9 is a full sentence in German. Wow.
It's going to be awesome if I keep having to explain.
You know, actually, pretty good joke.
Thank you.
It just took us a second because Grant
no
had a tough
is
night
a full
last
sentence
night.
In English.
And we've been fighting all morning before we got here.
And no is a full sentence in Spanish.
Oh, Spanish, sorry.
And no is a... How do you say no in French?
Now.
And no is a full sentence in French.
Sentence. It went what's the lady from Schitt's Creek? It went Moira Rose.
No.
Yeah.
I can't do
Don't
her.
Try again. Don't try again. Okay, what else is 9? We've done it. We've made it to 9. That was good.
What I was gonna say after singing Money, mm-hmm. the ABBA song, is that my promise to the listener is that I'll sneak ABBA into every episode for the rest of my life from here on out. And I maintain that I could probably do that because when I started DJing in college, I made a promise to myself that no matter the event, no matter the vibe, no matter whatever, I will always play one Missy Elliott song at every DJ set I ever do. And I kept that promise, and now I'm retired, so I can say for my entire DJ career.
How many gigs?
Thousands.
Thousands? Thousands of DJ gigs.
Thousands of gigs.
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, honest ballpark number of how many gigs I did?
22.
50.
50? You didn't DJ 50.
You know, I DJed all those like frat party and like sorority parties in college.
All those frat party and sorority college. No.
Did you need me to report to you every time I DJed a gig?
Bro, 50.
One time when I was in college, Grant was in high school. And I went to 4 colleges in 4 years. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. I graduated.
Did you flunk?
I never flunked. I actually excelled.
Wow.
And that's why you see me here today in this chair with a microphone.
Okay, keeping going. 4 colleges in 4 years, but one time you were in college and
okay.
Grant was in high school.
My last year of college, I went to a college in my hometown. So I lived with Grant again. And he was in like late high school, I think. And I was in my last year of college.
Shout out Oakland University Grizzlies.
Shout out Grizzlies. I really loved my experience there, for real, for real. Anyway, there was a sorority event that I was hired to DJ at a place called Meadowbrook Mansion.
Yeah.
Do you remember Meadowbrook Mansion?
Oh, do you remember? Miley Cyrus shot one of her music videos there. And our friend Simon was in the music video because he was ripped. And so he was in the music video and we were all like, can you believe it?
Shout out Miley Cyrus. She listens.
What was the song? I don't remember. Keep
going. We'll find out in next week's fact check.
Yeah. We don't have a fact check on this show.
Well, but if I say that, it sounds like we care.
Oh, great. And then people will come back next week.
Right.
Great.
We'll find out in next week's fact check.
Great.
Meadowbrook Mansion is 1,000,000,000 kajillion percent certainly a haunted place.
Yeah.
It's a really old, really huge home that was owned by, I'm sure, dirty money. Like, massive on this big piece of property. It was gorgeous. And people hosted events there. And I was charged with DJing a sorority event there. And I hired Grant Gibbs for $50 to go with me and carry my speakers. Do you remember? You came to the Meadowbrook Mansion with me.
No.
Yes, you did.
I literally don't remember this. I remember going to the that book, person's book party. The
book party.
I don't think I went to them. I don't remember at all. So I'm not sure I went to them. I don't think I went to them.
Are you questioning?
Well, totally. I have a horrible memory. Maybe I hired someone. I know someone helped me. So maybe I hired someone else.
I think I would have remembered that.
Okay.
Because I remember the other gig I went to with. So I feel like I would have remembered the Meadowbrook
Mansion. This is not a story about me and Grant. This is a story about me and someone question mark.
Okay.
Anyway, to load in as like a vendor in the Meadowbrook Mansion, you have to go through the kitchen and the back hallways. You would have, because it was a haunted house. It was for real, like all these random noises, all these random things falling, flashes of light, doors slamming shut, like really, really scary to load in and play my, that's right, Missy Elliott song.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I got a text from Grant. And then I want you to tell a story that I'm asking you to, or I want you to talk about a thing that I want to talk about. But I got a text from Grant last week that I would like to talk about that you know about. I know you're tired this week, but here we go. I got a text from Grant. You're going to love this. Well, out of the blue, he said, watched Interstellar for the first time last night. Very, very good movie, but the whole love transcending time and space shit took me out of the story a little. Then, 10 hours later, Grant texts me, cried twice though.
He just needed
10 hours
a second.
Later.
He
10 hours later.
A second.
10 hours later.
Oh, that's really cute.
I did cry twice. It was me and my friend Eric. Another Eric shout out.
Hey, Eric.
What up, dude?
I don't think he knew I was crying, but I was tearing up on my beanbag in my living room.
Tearing up on my beanbag. That's a song. Yeah. Go, hit it. Grant, are you going to sing? Or do you want me to be you?
Oh, the dog. Oh, who's Grant?
Me.
Who's going to be Grant?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I tear up on my beanbag chair when I watch a movie or when I think of something sad, and I don't want anyone to know that I'm emotional. So I'll just think to myself, and maybe I'll tell my brother.
Maybe I'll tell my brother. Cause I don't want, what is this song? Cause I don't want anyone to know that I teared up by myself.
On my beanbag chair.
On my beanbag chair. It is crazy. It's like,
why am I a mix of Kermit and Snuffleupagus in your depiction of me?
I don't know. It's Al's boy imitation. Yeah. It's whenever it goes boy.
I'm doing an impression of any boy, I sound like oh, you.
Go ahead.
Oh, you think you're smart? Well, I'm smarter than you.
That's my
pretty good boy,
of a boy
imitation. Yeah, I did love that though, because it was like. It was like after you thought about it for a while, you were like, it did get me though. But I agree that the love transcending time and space is a tough thing to sell.
Does it not though? Does love not transcend time and space?
It does.
It does, but it's like that movie is so not that. You know what I mean? Like it's so sci-fi and it's so like sort of psychological thriller. And then like the thread throughout the whole film is that like love always brings him back to his kid, you know?
Which yeah.
is just like,
which is like, sure.
It, I just like Christopher Nolan can't be doing that. You know what I mean?
The first time I saw Interstellar, it messed me up for a couple days.
It's so good though. When he like sees his, I mean, if you haven't seen Interstellar at this point,
it came out in 2014.
Yeah. When he sees his 90-year-old daughter and oh. they're like face to face.
Oh.
And like, oh my God.
Are break my
me?
Heart.
Are you kidding me?
Who's the lead guy in it?
McConaughey.
Right. And I knew that.
He's, dude, he's my goat, bro. He's my actor.
Yeah.
Goat, for real.
Guys, I interviewed Matthew McConaughey once for a job I will not name on the podcast. And I got the transcript back of my interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was being really cool.
Yeah.
I was like, hey. Whatever.
You're like, yeah, all right, all right. Like,
all right, all right.
All right,
all right.
Yeah. Oh my God.
No, I didn't even say all right, all right, all right towards him, which was a feat of self-control.
Okay, we went to the zoo yesterday. Do you want to talk about that?
Okay.
No, it was the day before. No, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
We went to the zoo yesterday.
Honest to God, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, so my parents, because of all the wackiness of the fires and life and uh-huh. blah, 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 uh-huh. they now live in the desert full time. They have chosen to get a membership to the Living Desert, whatever the hell.
The Living Zoo. Desert Zoo and Gardens in Palm Desert, California.
In Palm California. Desert, California. And my mom, shout out mom, she listens. And that's true. She actually does. My mom
is obsessed.
Is obsessed with the zoo in a way that I'm like,
it's girl, unbelievable.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable. It is a really great zoo.
It is a great zoo.
Have you been yet, Grant? It's a really great zoo. They've got it categorized by Africa, Australia, North She's America, a- to which we say,
I live there.
No offense.
No offense. I
don't
live
need to
there.
Go there. I live there.
But she, her specific obsession with the zoo actually has to do with the giraffes. As a whole, full stop, but also the fact that you can feed the giraffes at the zoo, which happens at a lot of zoos. It was true in the Detroit Zoo that we grew up near.
And you pay them $8 and they give you 4 big lettuce leaves and you get to walk up to the top of this platform.
Do you think they let me bring lettuce from home?
No.
Definitely not. Okay.
Absolutely not.
So anyway, mom is like, we're planning to go to the zoo as a family. And she's like, we have to go at 8 a.m. because that's when the giraffes first come out. And uh-huh. so she's like, on a Saturday, everyone, we all have to wake up early and go to the zoo by 8 a.m. so we can see,
the giraffes,
get fed breakfast. That's exactly yes. when the zoo opens. And the zoo opened, and she is heel-toeing it to this
fast,
giraffe
bro.
Enclosure. Mind you, I already knew she was this crazy about the giraffes because she had been texting me pictures of the giraffes being like, it's Daniel's birthday. And it's like a picture
knows
of
the
like
names, dude.
A little giraffe.
She knows the names.
And then it's like Joanne. And it's like this giraffe coming. Actually, it was Joanne's birthday. Now that Joanne and Annie share a
birthday. It's not Daniel's birthday until the end of the month.
No.
Is what
and
they
now
say.
We know too much about these giraffes. But yes. literally the zookeepers were standing there and the giraffes come to eat breakfast. And mom's like, where's Kelly? Where's that? Like, she knows uh-huh. these giraffes like they're her uh-huh. babies. Like, they're her pets.
And to her credit, she was very excited. And she did already know all of the information that the docent was telling us. But to her credit, she stopped herself from saying all of the things before the person got to say it. Which was the energy she was giving was, I want to tell my kids everything about this because I already know everything.
The zoo should hire her.
She doesn't want to work there.
How cute would she be in a little safari hat, though, telling everyone about the giraffes?
I have to show this. We'll post this to the Instagram and the TikTok. They said you're not allowed to. There was a section where there was all these, what were they? Little wallabies?
They're like section. Kangaroos, but little.
Set me up while I find this.
So this is, by the way, to finish off the giraffe thing.
Oh, sorry.
We watched them eat breakfast, and then we all paid $8 a person to get these 4 lettuce leaves and feed them to the giraffes. And it was incredible to be that close to a giraffe. Their tongues go all crazy, and they're really long, but also their 2 lips are going crazy and in different directions than their tongues. It's like they're scribbling with their mouths.
They're looking
in
at
the
you.
Air.
You have a lettuce leaf and they're going.
It's crazy.
Reaching. It's crazy.
I Anyway, so we went to another enclosure that was in Australia, quote unquote.
Yes.
And we were seeing these baby kangaroos. I think they're wallabies, wombat, whatever. They were like tiny kangaroos. And you can go in their enclosure with them and just be existing with them, although you're not allowed to pet them. So I'm like, why?
You can't touch them. Like, they can come up to you, but they don't. But it's like the rules are there is a concrete sidewalk that you have to stay on.
You have to stay on the pavement.
You have to stay on the pavement.
So that the wallabies, if they want to get away from you, they can. They can go in their little dirt
patches.
We'll
post it right here in a second. But they told mom, who loves the animals so much, that she had to stay on the concrete path. And we'll post it right here. But Grant, look at how mom was standing because they told her she had to stay on the concrete path.
She's basically, for the listener, she's basically hanging 10 off the concrete sidewalk. It's like
the just
top
her heels.
Half of her foot
we'll
is
post
like
it to the
hanging
Instagram
over the dirt and her heels are standing on the concrete.
Because she's so excited, but she's following the rules.
Right.
But she,
well, she's a rule follower.
She's a rule follower, but also she loves animals so much.
Standing, leaning over the side of the concrete, being like, "You can come here if you want to.
You can come here if you want to, little guy.
Come here if you want to." And we're like, "That's
and we're like,
crazy.
Mom,
why does she turn into like a different person around cute animals?
Around cute animals?
I
agree.
I get it.
She totally
I'm the
is.
Same way.
We all
Her
are.
Spirit is awoken.
She should be a zookeeper.
Oh wow.
There that was also
would be
a
fun
girl,
to be a zookeeper.
There was also a girl there that introduced me to my new favorite villain.
Who?
The beaded Mexican lizard.
Bro, this guy was crazy.
She said, the zookeeper said that this is a STEM podcast, by the way. The zookeeper said that if this little lizard bites you with his little mouth, you will not get poisoned unless he gnaws on the spot.
For real? He's rear venomous? He's rear venomous. This podcast sucks today. Rear venomous.
Grant made a face.
Rear venomous. So a rear fang venomous. So like snakes are front fang venomous, which means their venom comes from the front. So if they bite you at all, you're getting poisoned.
And you're dead.
And this guy, the fangs are from their salivary glands. So if he just bites you once, that's like a warning shot, I guess. But if he bites you and starts gnawing on you, that means he's trying to like create more of a wound to get the saliva in there. And that's what's going to get you.
But imagine, I don't. Okay.
But this zookeeper lady, she had him in these gloves because like he can't be picked up. He's poisonous, so he can't be picked up. But she was like setting him down so we could see him crawl around. And I guess he was like 30 and like old as hell. But every time she set him down, he started crawling towards the people.
He was risking it
literally,
all.
He was like,
literally like
Donna, gonna go get him.
Donna.
Finally, my chance
just
to take down
I
a human.
Gnaw
just wait
y'all
till
asses.
I crawl up that stroller and take care of business.
And gnaw on y'all.
It was for real.
He was awesome.
He was awesome.
He kind of looked like a pit bull to me.
What?
The shape of his face.
He had a cool mouth, though.
Yeah.
It was bright red.
And an incredible tongue. And while we're on the subject of STEM, I'd like to do a fact check from last week.
Oh, okay.
Last week when I talked about how sound particles can get carried away by the wind, you guys all said, that's not true.
That, no, none of us said
but
that.
But you argued with me?
No.
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 I will. No, I didn't. I'll
we pull, didn't.
I'll put the clip of
it. We'll put a little clip of it because I remember saying, I believe you, but your physics are going too fast for me to understand. That's why I'm asking you to slow it down. In fact, I supported you. I just needed it to be slower.
Okay. Never mind. Fact check erased.
You can do the fact check.
But you guys.
But you wanted to say that you were right?
Say I'm a woman in STEM.
You're a woman in STEM. You're a woman in STEM. You wanted to say that you were right, the thing we already said?
Can you write a song about how I'm a woman in STEM?
Just about being a woman in STEM?
No, about how I'm a woman in STEM. A song about me. You never write songs about me.
You're right.
I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. If you want to find a girl who can do all the math and all the science, then it's Al. She's dancing. If you're looking for a friend who can make sure that you understand the physics, it's Al. She's got all the knowledge of the periodic table of elements.
I don't.
She. You're undercutting the song as I'm doing it.
Sorry, keep going. I just wanted to tell the truth.
History as well. Wait, is history that's part true. Of STEM? It's not. Damn it.
But that's okay. It's an addition. In addition to being a woman in STEM, I know history. Keep going.
Trigonometry.
STEM. And technology.
STEM. Calculus. Algebra. These are all the things I know about STEM.
And they're all stuff that I know.
Yeah.
What's the LA equivalent of
science, sorry, tech, education, and mathematics?
Yeah, like what does STEM stand
for? Engineering and mathematics? Education. This is a great question.
What
Grant.
Does STEM stand for in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles.
Like secrets.
Keep going.
My brain doesn't work today, but we're going to work through it together. Together.
Yeah.
Secrets. Together.
Secrets together. Entertainment.
Yep.
Mild annoyance.
Minerals.
Minerals.
Like the crystal girlies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I do like...
Okay, but let me hear your LA STEM.
My LA STEM is... sources.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Timmy Chalamet.
Of course, you're obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Entertainment.
That was what Grant said. Okay, you
gotta do a different one. What? Sources, Timmy Chalamet,
Erwan.
Erwan. Erwan's pretty good, actually. Uh-huh. And Mickey Mouse.
Wow. That is the STEM of Los Angeles. Okay,
sources,
I'll try.
Sources, Timmy Chalamet,
I'll
Erwan,
try. I
could have
spent
Mouse.
That time talking, thinking about my own.
Yeah, but that would have been if we were professionals.
Right, totally. So totally fun. ST. So totally every day. My favorite place. So totally every day, my favorite place.
Okay.
That's the STEM of Los Angeles. And I'm feeling Los Angeles pride right now because
yeah,
of
agree,
the way of the city and the way the city.
The way the city and the way the city.
Fill in the blanks.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Fill in the blanks.
Okay. Do you want to talk about a thing that we haven't talked about on this podcast, which is a game we used to play in high school? Or no?
Shout out.
How was your week?
My week?
Yeah.
I had an amazing week.
Tell me one thing about it that was amazing.
I got back into my apartment.
Oh yeah.
I've been away from my apartment for like a month. And that was kind of fun actually, because I was calling it being on tour, and yeah. It was kind of fun actually because I was staying with friends and I was staying in the desert yeah. And I was bopping around. What made it difficult is my little dog Biggie, who is stinky and embarrassing. I had to bring him with me everywhere because I couldn't leave him at the places I was staying, and so that was a pain in the rumpus.
I hated rumpus.
But now that I'm back in my apartment, Biggie's happy, and that's why he was extra happy sleeping in this morning. And me and Biggie do this thing called bestie time, where we get in my bed and I say, okay, time for bestie time. Uh-huh. And we get under the covers like uh-huh. a fort, and we're doing like, hey.
Does he like it?
No.
Does he tell you secrets?
He doesn't like busty time very
much.
Okay. But I will say I'm relieved of some guilt of not bringing him places, because I never bring him places because he's such a pain in the rumpus. And these last couple of weeks, I've brought him everywhere, and I hated it, and so did he. I brought him to a Mexican restaurant with my friend Cameron.
And he had a bad time.
He had a horrible time.
Yeah, he doesn't like...
He was stressed out the entire time. He was like in Mexican a bag food. In the booth with me.
He doesn't like Mexican
me
food.
Me and Cameron vibing out, eating a vat of cheese again, which is what we do at Greek restaurants too. Uh-huh. And Biggie was not having fun.
Yeah. Chilaquiles, no.
Chilaquiles, no for Biggie. So... And now I don't feel bad about leaving him home all the time because he wants to be there. He's an old guy.
Yeah.
How was your week?
My week was pretty good. I did a lot of working. I did a lot of hanging out.
Say went to the other zoo. Than working.
What else did I do?
Are you exercising?
I am exercising. I've been hitting that treadmill. I've got a job coming up that I have to sing and like move quite a lot.
Okay.
Like a theater job. Mm-hmm. So I have to get that like cardio while singing up. So I'm on the treadmill at Planet Fitness doing like literally don't care what they think.
That's a good song.
Don't care what they think.
That's a really good song. If you just running on the treadmill,
literally me cranking it up to 7 miles per hour sprinting so I can
wait
hit it
7 miles
with it.
Per hour is fast, right?
I just had an out-of-body experience
about the what
about
we're up to
what the fuck I'm doing with my life, like like I was sitting here and I'm so tired and then you guys just went and I went
just zoomed out of your own life and you're like, what are we even doing?
The fuck got me here?
What are we even doing?
I think it's cute.
Yeah, well, that we're doing this.
Yeah, we're spending time together. Me and my two brothers.
I keep doing crazy piano songs
today.
Yeah, play
something a little more upbeat, and I'm going to sing a song about me and my two brothers.
Okay. Oh, and can you lead it into the ranking?
Oh, sure.
Let me hit you with something fantastic. Too slow.
My two brothers and I, we like to hang out and play games together with also my sister and my sister-in-law. My two brothers and I, we play euchre, which is a card game from Michigan that we really like to play also with my sister and sister-in-law. A friend group that has to hang out together, so we try to make it fun. My two brothers and I, we all live in the same city, and we like to hang out. Let me keep going.
Oh.
And every week I get the chance to rank my two brothers, one and two, first and second place. This week you guys might like to hear that things are gonna flip because Grant is in the first place.
Why is Grant in first place?
Because this morning, Gabe made me drive him here. And when I went to pick him up...
Can we do this for official weekly ranking of my
daughter? I like that. I like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's the official weekly ranking of my brothers.
Grant is in first place this week. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Grant.
Wow.
It's been a couple weeks since you were in the top.
It has.
I'm really doing too much with the soundboard.
It's really... No, it's fine. I'm also feeling low energy today, so you're kind of saving my ass with the soundboard. It's really great. Thank you.
Don't worry about your energy, guys.
I'm worried about it.
I'm on a really high vibe, so... And yeah, like I said, I could do this without you, so...
You're carrying the team this
you're
week.
You're ancillary.
Thank you. Yeah.
I picked up Gabe this morning, and... I'm listening to my jams in the car and I'm jamming and it's the morning. And then he said, can you please turn that off? I have to listen to a song in his headphones for work. And I'm like, fine. So I turn off my music and I'm driving in silence. And the entire time Gabe's listening in his headphones to a song for work, he's also vocalizing. So he's sitting next to me. I'm driving in silence. And he's sitting next to me in the car being like, dun, dun, dun. And then finish. Okay, I gotta write that down. I'm going to tuck and roll out of the car while it's moving. It's driving me crazy the way he's vocalizing next to me.
I'm doing business. I'm doing work.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what you want me to do.
I don't care if someone's paying you to do that. That's not business.
That's business.
I went to business school. That's not business.
It's my business. And that's none of your business.
I'm going to start classifying any annoying shit I do as part of my business.
See, yeah. And nobody can. It's like, hello?
Nobody can get mad at me.
Okay. It was business. Things are due.
You being that annoying, though, was not business.
No, but then I got in trouble because we went to pick up the food.
Oh, this is even
worse. And she's ordering. But she said, hey, you can call him and talk through.
But then the phone call lasted too long. I'm in line about to order breakfast, and he hasn't told me what he wants. He hasn't told me what you want. And I'm trying to order, and the person's talking to me, and Gabe is not adjusting his volume at all. He's talking loudly, loudly, loudly on the phone. I'm trying to figure out what to order. We finish ordering. Gabe hangs up his phone call. And then I say, I got you this, this, and this. And he's like, that's the wrong thing. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You were talking while I was trying to order. And he said, technically, you were talking while I was trying to talk on the phone because I was ordering the breakfast.
Goes both ways.
And I said, it only goes both ways if you pay for breakfast, because that would mean that your work directly benefits what I'm doing as well.
So then I said, she set up a situation where the only way she's not going to be mad at me the rest of the day is if I pay for breakfast.
Ladies, take notes. And gents, take notes.
It's rancid. It's rancid behavior.
It's awesome behavior.
Devastating behavior. For me. Yeah. Okay. Awesome behavior for Alex.
Awesome behavior.
Heavy on the soundboard today.
Blackmail.
Heavy on the soundboard today. Unbelievable.
That's not blackmail, is it?
No. Should we?
It's manipulation.
Did you have your thing you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to talk about imaginary friends.
Oh my God. Okay. Go ahead. This is not going to make Gabe look good. We'll just cut to the chase. No, it doesn't necessarily make me look bad, but it's certainly...
When Gabe was little, he had one main imaginary friend whose name was Cocker Sisson. Clockett. C-O-C-K-E-R-S-I-S-O-N. Cocker Sisson. What did you and Cocker Sisson do together?
Soccer.
They played soccer. Now, Cocker Sisson had three cousins. Listener, I'm going to pause for a second so you can say to yourself, I wonder what these three cousins' names were. Say them to yourself out loud. Give a guess.
Okay. His name was Cocker Sisson, and we played soccer together because I liked soccer when I was little. And also, imaginary children are a sign of intelligence, okay?
So imaginary children are a sign of intelligence?
Imaginary friends.
Yikes.
If a kid's got imaginary friends... Don't have to worry about him at all. If your kid's got imaginary friends, it's because he's a genius. If your kid's got imaginary friends, you don't gotta worry about him at all. He's got incredible intelligence and the foresight to make some friends if he doesn't have any. He can just make him himself. So if your kid's got imaginary friends, don't worry. I had an imaginary best friend named Cocker Sisson.
His cousins were named Cheechel, Chachel, and Chuchel. Now, that means nothing, but it sounds inappropriate when I say it, doesn't it?
I am recognizing now as an adult that the first part of my best friend's name was Cock.
Right.
Which did not have anything to do with... Go ahead, Sam. Yep, exactly right. But it's because it rhymed with soccer. I think it had to do with soccer. Cocker Sisson and I played soccer.
Why didn't you name him Cocker Sisson?
I did.
I meant Soccer Sisson.
Soccer kissing. Why wasn't he soccer kissing?
Why wasn't he soccer boy?
Because it kind of was, but I wanted to put a little stank on it, I think. I don't remember. I was
Do you think eight. There's a direct correlation between...
Now, Cheechul, Chachul, and Chuchul. No idea where they came from, but it is a little bit giving like Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's terrifying. Do you think there's a correlation between people who can imagine an entire apple in their head and people who had like rich, fulfilling relationships with their imaginary friends when they were little?
I don't know. We had a good time. Cheechul, Chachul, and Chuchul were never separate entities. They were always together. And I don't remember what any of these people look like. I think Cocker Sisson kind of looked like me. Do you know what I mean? Which is definitely going to get me in trouble about my own.
Reader. I wanted to have an imaginary friend when I was a kid, and I remember trying to make one up, and her name was Tiffany, and she was older than me, and she had a red convertible. And I remember trying to play with her, and then I was like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Tiffany, I have to end this friendship. This isn't working.
It takes a pretty high level of intelligence and care and empathy to be able to maintain a friendship with a person who's not real.
Let me hit you with this. I had real friends. Touché. Let me hit you with this one. I had meat space friends.
Okay. Yes. Friends with actual meat flesh space. Blood. Flesh blood.
Meat space.
Meat.
This is the space that we're in.
The space we're in is the meat space.
I was just listening to a talk about research done with this is more STEM, about research done with Gen Z and how they consider technology and how that's different than like even people our age.
Sure.
To be honest, I'm a millennial, but I'm cusp.
You want to tell people that, you want to prove to people that you're cusp?
Totally.
Al's cusp.
If you look it up, I'm technically millennial, but I'm totally a cusp because I do the heart with my hands like this.
For the listener, she's doing the heart with her hands the way the Gen Zs do it.
Exactly. If you look it up, I'm technically millennial, but I can prove I'm cusp because I don't wear skinny jeans anymore.
Nice.
if you look it up,
technically, he's millennial. She's cusp. What? I am.
But he's not cusp, which is why he does his heart hands like this.
Damn. If you look it up, I'm technically millennial. And I stay being millennial because I post things on the internet that are like, when my friends, blah. You know what I mean?
If you look it up, I'm technically millennial, but I stay being cusp because I hang out with some Gen Z people and I pick up some of their vernacular.
Yes, such as?
Period.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
King?
Such as? You know what you've been doing lately that I love? She does this thing lately where when she has no interest in listening to what I have to say or caring about my contribution to anything, she goes, totally.
I don't think that's Gen Z. I think that's just
I'm not sure it's Gen Z, but it's just you being like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I had this idea to blah, blah, blah. We could do this on the podcast. And she'll go, totally.
Well, I realized that being like, I don't care is kind of rude. But if I say totally, it's like, technically I'm agreeing.
You no can't one can be mad
me.
At you. Yeah.
You can't be mad at me if I'm like, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. But that is an indicator that I've stopped listening.
Oh, for sure.
If you look it up, I'm technically millennial, but you know what?
I changed keys on you. I'm sorry.
Oh, No, change it up.
Technically millennial.
But you know I'm cussed because I,
Wow, you started it.
If you look it up, I'm technically millennial. But you know I'm cussed because my purses got tinier. Oh, little tiny purses.
That is very not millennial. You're right. Good job. But also you can just be who you are, which is cusp. You don't have to worry if you're giving millennial or if you're giving Gen Z. It's not a big deal.
My friend once told me I'm giving millennial and made me spin out for an entire day, maybe 3 days. I still think about it.
Yeah, that's tough.
What about me is giving millennial? Don't answer that question. I'm going to figure it out on my own.
It doesn't matter if you're millennial.
I think it's because my pants aren't big enough, don't you guys think?
Yeah, the pants do need to be bigger.
I need to be wearing enormous pants.
The pants need to be bigger. The tops need to be smaller. The purses need to be...
Big top too.
Mini, mini, mini.
Big top too.
Well, it depends on what vibe you're going.
Little top for sure.
Little top too.
Or big top.
Big top too.
But you're East LA.
Big top, little pants, or it's big pants, little top.
No. Big top, big pants for some of these bitches. I'm swear to God, big top, big pants. No one's doing big top, little pants, except me.
No one's doing big top, little pants. Beat, it's dude. All
because I want to make this the name of the episode. No.
Oh, jingle. Oh, like a song. You said beat.
You said beat.
Yeah, sorry. No, can you do the thing, millennial Gen Z one?
Yes. So sorry.
One thing about Gen Z, they're really good at finding the optimal baggy. The pants have to be the optimal baggy, and if you're from Utah, you pull them to the side on your TikToks to show that they're the optimal baggy.
Yes.
No way.
For some reason, it's really easy to spot if someone's from Utah on TikTok.
Different subject, but yeah.
Agree.
But it all ties back to the optimal baggy.
Optimal baggy.
I don't know if I've reached that yet, which
optimal
is
baggy.
The part of me that's mostly millennial.
You don't have the optimal baggy.
Cause just being baggy is not quite enough.
It's a good start though.
But it needs to be optimal.
Damn. That's true. That's Damn. True. Wow.
Even the big t-shirts. When I wear a big t-shirt, I'm like, this isn't
me.
Oh, millennial thing. Or sorry, Gen Z thing. This isn't giving.
Oh, it's not giving.
Yeah.
We would have said serving.
We would have?
No. No. No.
I'm not millennial or Gen Z.
You're Gen Zillennial. You're whatever you want.
No, I was about to say I'm golden age. Me. I'm golden age. I'm transatlantic.
Yeah.
I'm actually going back like 65 years.
There was a game we used to play in high school that I've been wanting to talk about on this podcast and see if we can get through it.
I think we should talk about it, but I would cancel us for it. It's horrific.
It is a horrendous game we used to play.
I actually feel gross just that you have to say it because I'm going to get really grossed out.
We used to play a game called the Gallon Challenge.
This is crazy Midwestern.
And if you're from
bullshit.
Well, it's crazy Midwestern church kid, theater kid bullshit.
It's horrible. You guys, don't listen to this.
It was for the kids who most of the time weren't really drinking because we were all too goody-goody, but we wanted to do something a little rebellious and silly and crazy.
This is embarrassing.
Also in the era of YouTube where people were doing pranks and it was a little more jackassy.
Because this was also the era of like the cinnamon challenge, which I tried and it nearly killed me for real. Correct. I wonder if anyone died from that because honestly, I felt like I was dying. For those of you
if
who
anyone
don't
died
know,
from the cinnamon for the challenge,
youths, for the youths that are listening to the pod, cinnamon challenge was like you ate a whole spoonful of cinnamon, and the thing is like
the challenge
you
is,
breathe it in.
No, they know that anyone, first of all, there's no one young listening to this show, but the youngest people listening to the show would know it in reference to the Tide Pod challenge,
right,
which was sort of the death of all challenges.
Okay, so I guess no matter what,
there's no more challenges.
Dude, Tide Pod challenge killed challenges.
Yeah, because because the challenges were always really, really horrible and dumb, and this is the worst.
But the cinnamon one, you ate a huge spoonful of cinnamon, which the first bite, I did it too. The first bite is like, oh. And then the second you take a breath in, your lungs are filled
with
cinnamon. It's crazy.
And you're like wheezing, hacking.
Yeah.
I did it with my high school boyfriend. And I remember being like, I'm going to die here in his parents' kitchen.
Yeah. Well,
doing the cinnamon challenge.
So the gallon
but
challenge.
But I'm still here, boys and girls.
So the gallon challenge is a thing that you and some friends go to a parking lot somewhere and you each bring a gallon of milk. Preferably whole milk to really do it. And you have 20 minutes to drink an entire gallon of milk. Now, the amount of time changes depending on house rules. Right. But it is the attempt to do, we should try to do this again as adults.
No.
If this show ever has bonus episodes, that would be a bonus
episode. If this show ever has bonus episodes, it will be Tweedledum and Tweedle
Dumber
Idiot doing the Gallantons. And
Tweedle Idiot.
And I will be not even in the same part of town.
No, you'll be there.
I'm not participating.
You'll be there. The gallon challenge, you have 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, to drink an entire gallon of milk, which is not possible.
So you barf. That's the end of it.
Unless you're Joey Chestnut. You guys know Joey Chestnut?
Of course everyone knows Joey Chestnut.
Thank God. Unless you're Joey Chestnut, no one has the stomach flexibility.
Ew, I'm so grossed out by this now that my frontal lobe is developed. Good God.
So we would
We would back
all
then.
Gather in parking lots in suburban Detroit late at night, pull our cars up after stopping at Kroger to pick up a gallon of milk.
It's horrible.
And chug a gallon of milk. You'd get halfway, three quarters, maybe, before your stomach goes, this is too much, and it's all got to come out.
You know what game we did play then that now the kids could never play because you have smartphones?
Hide and seek? Kidnap? What's it called?
Drop off. Yes. You would have two cars. You would have two cars.
Rips.
Listen to this. You would have two cars, two teams. One person from each team goes in the opposite car.
No. Two. It's a driver, navigator, and two passengers.
Oh, okay. So the two passengers from each team go in the opposite cars. The driver navigators drive the two people in the back of their car from the other team to some location.
Blindfolded.
They have like 30 minutes to go somewhere, and they drop the two passengers off, and then the two passengers have to call their driver navigator and be like, okay, I'm in a cornfield, I'm by the, and get picked up. The first person to get picked up by their driver navigator and back at the meeting location wins. So it's a race. It's very dangerous. Again, yes. No frontal lobe.
We did commit. It was before you could do Find My Friends.
Right.
But we did commit to no Google Maps, no Apple Maps, no nothing, so that the game was fun.
I can't even remember if we had that.
But it was also like you were trying to get paired up with like either your best friend or a cutie crush to get dropped off in the middle of nowhere with your cutie crush.
See, this is like
a delight.
This is like where
But you literally would get blindfolded as a 16-year-old, and your 16-year-old friends are like, okay, 20 minutes, and then you have to drop them off wherever you are, no matter what. Ready, go.
Really?
And then you're like, I think we went north.
What's dangerous about it, actually, now that I'm an adult, and not to poke
so
holes in
many
this,
elements
is
of it are
that you're driving crazy.
You're driving crazy. You're dropping someone off in the middle of nowhere. They're also children, but it was fire.
Very fun and very flirty fun.
I have a similar like 16-year-old crazy driving story, and then we're at about an hour, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I played high school football, and in the summers we would go to these 7-on-7 events where it was all the like skill players, which also
yes,
so shitty that they call it skill players.
Versus, you know this in football that like wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, like those kind of people are considered skill players, and then the linemen,
just like the big fat idiots,
the big boys.
The big boys are not like, considered skill players. Yeah, anyway. Isn't that
why
bad?
Why are they not skill?
They are.
They are skill
because they're not touching the ball.
Yeah, they don't touch the ball.
Hey, any linemen out there? I think you're skill.
That's great.
Wow.
To me, you're totally skill.
To me, you're skill.
So instead of taking a bus to these 7-on-7 events that would be 30, 40, 50 minutes away, we would carpool as 50, 16, 17,
and you put
14,
all the
15,
stupid
16,
big boys in one car and all the smart little boys in another car?
The problem is you have
50.
You have 7 cars of 16-year-olds racing an event 45
Allendale,
minutes away.
Michigan or whatever.
It's so stupid.
And it was so dangerous. It used to be, because obviously it's like you're also the type of guys that are playing high school football are a certain kind of guy, and 16-year-old boys are a certain kind of guy.
And you're flying.
Oh, 100 miles an hour on the highway with a car full of five idiots.
Yeah. Thank God you guys are okay.
Dude, it was so dumb.
But is that necessary to development?
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
I think we all have to do that. I think we do all have to go through something like that. I'm sort of...
I wish that people
would think that my place in the football team is cute.
Yeah, I was just about, I was going the same way.
Do I sound like a linebacker?
I was headed there to give him.
It's another impression of a boy.
Don't worry, boys. Your dreams won't be killed.
Aww.
Cause though you don't touch the ball, we all still think you're
skilled.
The other guys are little. They're speedy, sure.
But girls like big boys to keep them warm all winter long.
I was gonna say secure because it rhymes.
Oh, can I do it again?
But girls like big boys to make them feel secure.
So don't feel sad that you don't have the skills.
Cause you do, after all, have the skills that
where it counts
matter.
Yeah. Don't worry at all that you don't touch the ball, because
the girls never liked the quarterback anyway. Uh-huh. They're too small.
Too small.
Too small.
Too small.
Too small.
Too small.
Too small. The quarterback in the NFL is too small.
Everyone's been saying I look like Josh Allen started a terrible music career, which is a quarterback. Anyway, this has been another episode of Mom Said. Thank you guys so much for listening to our nonsense as Sibbos. We like getting together, and this is sort of us catching up, touching base.
Yeah. You know, I want to hang out with you guys, so DM us what you think about stuff, and then we'll DM you back, and then we'll be friends.
I meant this is the three of us.
Oh. But I'm feeling like...
You're feeling like you're doing a show for the people watching the show, and Grant and I are just here to help facilitate your friendships with people on the internet?
I'm feeling like... I know there are people listening, and I want them to do a podcast toward me so I can know what they're thinking.
Oh.
You guys, do a podcast toward me.
Do a podcast.
I just, like, I don't like the one-sided relationship. I want to know what they think.
I like that.
You know? So, you know, tell us what you think about stuff so that we can be having a two-sided relationship.
You guys have been sending some nice messages to the Instagram especially.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for listening to this crazy show.
Yeah.
We're so grateful. I'm recording my my comedy special in LA in March, March 16th. I'm going to be doing that. There's tickets for sale. Please come see that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've announced it before on the show, but...
Me and my friends are going, and I have friends besides Gabe and Grant and Annie, and they're super fun. So come sit with us.
Come sit with us. Los Angeles, March 16th. There's an early show and a late show. The late show's selling better than the early show, so come early. You know what I mean?
Or come late.
Or come late. Whatever. Or right on time.
Or right back on time.
Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Mom Said. We really appreciate y'all listening to us. And have a great week. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye. See you next Wednesday.
Yeah. We gotta go.
We gotta go.